And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88. Roads?
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 114 for March 12th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Trending Mobile Technology, Anything Goes, and All Wine Aside. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. You can get in touch with us directly. Don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 89 episodes in a row, Mr. Heavyset.
Howdy.
We've got Kebbo Trek.
That's my line.
We've got Carp.
Howdy ho.
Get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All right, Carp, what do you got this week?
Well, I was going to piggyback off of one of your articles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Heavyset and Carp, what do you guys have this week?
Well, I posted.
I know you both have the same news story.
Well, no, I have three separate news stories that I was going to ask which one you guys wanted to talk about.
Well, I figure the big one is what we're going to talk about.
The Heavyset one?
Oh, yeah.
Let's the big one.
Do this?
Sony plans new Ghostbusters film with Russo brothers, Channing Tatum, and Iron Man 3 scribe Drew Pierce.
What the fuck is going on? We heard 2 weeks ago that there was going to be an all-female spinoff, and now apparently they're going to branch off and do a separate series with another cast. What the fuck is going on, Carp?
They're trying to cash in on the people who aren't going to go see the all-female cast.
You should use my link. There might be a video.
Hi, I'm Naomi Kyle, and this is IGN News. Sony Pictures is planning a Ghostbusters cinematic universe that could potentially include a Channing Tatum starring Joe and Anthony Russo directed film. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the studio has put together Ghost Corps, a collective headed by original Ghostbusters director Ivan Reitman and star Dan Aykroyd. Their goal is to oversee the expansion of the franchise into new movies, TV, and merchandising opportunities. The Tatum film would be male-oriented and would come after the female-led 2016 reboot that director Paul Feig has in the works with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. The Russos, who wowed audiences and Hollywood alike with Captain America the Winter Soldier, would produce and direct the film, while another Marvel vet, Iron Man 3's Drew Pierce, would script. Tatum, who is already cozy with Sony due to the 21 Jump Street movies, will also produce with his partners. Reitman would also take a producer credit. Reitman told Deadline, "My primary focus will be to build the Ghostbusters into the universe it always promised it might become. The original film is beloved, as is the cast, and we hope to create films we will continue to love." The Hollywood Reporter points out that Reitman is moving the staff of his production company, the Montecito Picture Co., onto the studio lot to focus on this effort. Montecito and Ghost Corps will remain separate entities, however.
Thank you very much, IGN. I think this is a terrible fucking idea. What they should do is just scrap that all-female reboot altogether and just focus on this all-male reboot. Channing Tatum and fucking Chris Pratt, why not? I mean, yes, we joke about Tatum, but he is a draw. And I think he'd be good in this Ghostbuster universe. He was good in the Jump Street series. And Chris Pratt's just got that natural charisma. He'd be perfect for like a Venkman kind of character. So my opinion, kill the female reboot, focus on this one. What do you think, Abby?
I agree with you, but to me, this takes a little bit of the sour out of my mouth that I dealt with hearing about this all-female cast. And if we can find a way to get these to work together. But the only thing is that it sounds like to me that, okay, we got this direction we want to go, but it's not official if it's going to be part of Ghostbusters. If not, it's going to be its own entity. But if we can get everything official, we're going to mix it in. It reminds me of how, if I'm correct, District 9 was supposed to be a Halo movie. And then when they couldn't work out certain things, they said, well, it would no longer be a Halo movie. And then it somehow turned into District 9.
I think you're going to – here's the thing. We've had, 20 years since the last one, and you're going to split the audience into two already? It just doesn't seem like a smart play. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
It depends how they do it now. If it's considered part of the Ghostbusters universe, like the rumor is, that you kind of have like ghost, let's say ghost corps on the west end of the U.S. and then the Ghostbusters on the east end of the U.S. And then at some point they actually meet up together, which could potentially cause comedic greatness, I think. So I'm going to hold my reservations. I do like the idea of an all-male driven Ghostbusters style movie. So as long as they're not making fun of Ghostbusters, like scary, how Scary Movie made fun of all the scary movies, and they're going to do a legit Ghostbusters type scenario and just change to Ghost Corps because they might join it all together, I'm good with that.
All right, Kembo Trek, what do you got this week?
Not much.
I got one for
all right,
Kembo.
You know,
I did nothing good this week.
I got one for
all right.
Kembo. Well, I was going to throw in one more thing. I do believe that Dan Aykroyd's big vision that he always had was Ghostbusters 1 and 2, you know, you had the firehouse and everything, and that was going to be the first one. And then eventually what he tried to do with the video game was say that it was going to become a franchise, like a McDonald's or something, where all these Ghostbuster agencies were going to pop up. So if they find a way to work this movie into that whole idea, like, okay, the all-female one is this location, but like kind of like how Carp said of, like, you know, you're going to have this all-male one be like the West Coast location or some other location in general, and then somehow along the line they both meet up. I don't know, but that would be awesome. And like I said, that to me, like I said, when they announced the whole female casting, I hated it, and I even said, like, I'm still going to go see it, but this puts me in a step in the wrong direction, into the negative. This pushes me a little bit more to being neutral, because it's like, well, I'll deal with this if I'm getting that too, so.
Why are you fragmenting something that's been unproven in 20 years? Focus on the all-male cast. You know it's going to do better. No offense. Sorry, women. In this case, it's going to do better. If it does well, then do a branch off with the all-female cast. That's how I say you do it. Kev.
See, when I heard this news, I immediately thought of Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien, where it's like, we announced the female cast, but we're not entirely sure anymore. So why not either go with maybe what you really wanted, which was just the male cast, or let the female cast have their chance? Yeah, I mean, I'm not super looking forward to it either. The all-female cast, but I don't know, just it feels like they're not getting their chance now.
Well, you know, Sony has been delivered a couple of bad blows as of late. We all know the history in the last couple of months. So I think it's possible that they are kind of Jay Leno-ing this and they're second-guessing their choice. But in my opinion, again, I know they did get blowback for the cutting the all-female cast, but I say you just cut your losses and you fucking go with it. But I'm not the director of Sony, so I guess they know best. All right, Kembo Trek, let's talk about the Oscars. They're changing stuff up next year. And I actually marked a few things that I would like to see in the Oscars next year and get your thoughts. First off, I would like to see Best Comedy category. What do you think?
Agreed. I'm trying to remember, does comedy ever win? I'm trying to remember the last time a comedy movie or a real comedy movie.
Yeah, not like a feel-good, like I know Benigni won for Life is Beautiful or whatever.
No, but like a real comedy. Not an art house, make $4 comedy.
Yeah, no, I don't think one has ever won.
No, so it makes sense because it's always going to be a drama that's going to win. So it makes sense to give, you know, great comedies their chance to get recognized.
What do you think about fan voting?
No. Definitely, definitely. Like,
well, not even one category.
No, because I think it's going to go in the opposite extreme, where it's not going to be about quality. It's just going to be about what the most popular movie is.
Well, why don't you cater to that audience? That, you know what? Like, they've dropped 16% the last year. They're saying, and one of the producers is leaving. You know, because you're alienating the general audience, in my opinion. Why not give them a voice on at least one of the categories?
But like, in that case, is it like the movies that are already nominated, or do they nominate them?
Yeah, fan choice. That's it. Let any movie, whatever you want, just fan choice.
So you're going to have Twilight winning an Oscar.
What's wrong with that? Like, here, I think Twilight's a piece of shit, but the fans will speak, and whatever the fans decide is the best movie of the year, they should also get a voice, in my opinion. Why should it be
given to a select few fucking snobs in the Academy who think they know what we want.
Well, you know what? As backwards as I find the Academy, I think it would be a lot better than a bunch of 13-year-old teenage girls voting.
What do you think about more big-budget films being considered?
Absolutely. There's no reason a movie like Guardians shouldn't have been nominated or something like that. It seems like it's getting more and more art housey every year. Yeah, there's some exceptions like American Sniper and that, but obviously, like you said, the ratings kind of show it, but the movies are getting more obscure, more movies people don't care about. And I think just because a movie is either special effects heavy or has a big budget, it doesn't mean it's not a fantastic movie. I mean, nobody would say Iron Man, the first Iron Man, is not a fantastic movie. Like, why couldn't that have been nominated?
Why couldn't Emo Spider-Man be given a Best Picture nod?
Well, no, but... but
first
no,
Spider-Man. First ever Spider-Man could have gotten nominated.
The second Spider-Man. The second Tobey was the best,
to me,
in my opinion.
Second Spider-Man, I would have nominated Best Supporting for Doc Ock, Alfred Molina. He did such a good job as Doc Ock.
All right, I got another one for you, Kev. 30-second speech limit for the jobber categories.
I might even take it a little step further and
15 seconds.
Cut out some of the categories nobody cares about. Like, I'm not cut out in the sense that.
But have like the jobber ones online.
No, that's it. Like, have it, or like, I know, don't they usually do like a separate ceremony for other stuff? Like, cut it out.
I would do it online. What do you think about online?
Maybe, because like, nobody wants to see like best foreign documentary or best short. Whatever, like,
yeah, and they get fucking 4 minutes. They're thinking like, and everybody is at home. They're all thinking like, I don't. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck off the stage. You're a piece of garbage.
And that's the problem. And then like at the end, it kind of gets rushed towards the stuff that people really want to see.
Yeah, and also I say cut the show down to 2 hours.
I can live with 3, but like it's what, 4.5 now almost. Like it's way.
And then like 8 hours of pre-show.
Yeah, so like 2 might be a bit extreme in the other way, but there's no reason it should go over 3 hours.
Anything else you guys would add to make it more, I guess, modern?
Get rid of like the 3.5 hour opening monologue, or 10 minutes. It's like, oh, you know, a small little like musical number, let's say it open. If it's somebody a little more flamboyant like Neil Patrick Harris, and from what we've seen, except for the Golden Globes, none of the tag team like hosts have worked ever, from what I can tell. So solo person to host, and that's it.
What about having a requirement that a movie has to make like $1 million to
at least a million? Yeah, I agree.
So like half the nominations would be like gone.
But the problem with that is
the entire foreign category would be non-existent.
The problem with that is that a lot of these art house films only open on limited release anyways.
Yeah, fair enough. So, but still, I mean, end up making $4 million, and
none of these guys are obviously going to come out during the blockbuster season because they'll just be completely dominated by everything else. I mean, if they released, let's say, Birdman or whatever against Avengers, the film would made like $2. So,
Carp, Marvel is skipping San Diego Comic-Con this year. Is it because they're just too big for it?
I think they're just like, here's how big our balls are.
Because pretty much everybody comes out to the con to see what's going on with Marvel anyways. Why not do their own fucking thing?
They're basically saying, this is us, we're awesome. So you know what? Let's give the other guys a chance. So hey, DC, go suck off somewhere else. We win, and we're going to keep winning, and you guys suck. I think that's what they're trying to say.
And I'm sure the Comic-Con organizers are fucking really disappointed.
I'm sure they flipped out.
I think it's like Apple, they just got too big for it and they don't need it. And they can just, they want to do some fucking big thing, they could just do their own conference and everybody will go out to see them anyway.
Well, I mean,
so
it is Marvel and Disney, they could just basically get together and be like, yeah, we're going to do
our
own.
Yeah, just be like, hey, we're doing something, come see us, that's it. Anybody else want to add anything?
Well, I wanted to speak about the real shows that we should be considering coming up, or not show, but real awards that we should be looking at, which is the 41st Annual Saturn Award nominations.
Okay, how come, like, what the fuck is a Saturn Award?
So a Saturn Award is basically the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films.
How come they can't build a website and it's not 1995?
I don't know.
I mean, you've got, like, animated GIFs and fucking, like, Times New Roman font, like...
You should see some of these websites. Are these awards
picked by Perry Saturn?
No, they're picked by fucking some guy who ran GeoCities, fuck.
They're actually... Like,
it's the worst website I've ever seen. I've never heard of the organization. And all they put a bunch of... that's your fucking website? Well, and how come you don't have an award ceremony? Like, who gives a shit?
I think Carp is trolling us.
I think Carp just made this website five minutes ago.
Yes, I did. Considering I don't know how to make websites.
GeoCities helped you, so there you go.
Okay, so who won? Who were the big winners, Carp?
There's no winners since it's the nominations only. The awards actually...
They're all losers.
Captain America Winter Soldier leads the nominations this year with a total of 11 epics.
Oh, for best shaky cam and worst action scene?
Well, there's categories such as best comic to film, best science fiction film, best fantasy film, best horror film, best thriller film, best action adventure, and etc. So Winter Soldier, 11, Interstellar, 10, Guardians, 9 nominations. And then on the TV side, Walking Dead has gotten 7 nominations. And the NBC series Hannibal has achieved 6 nominations. Across the board, you also have such series as Agent Carter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, Constantine, The Flash, and Gotham on the TV side.
They got a picture of Arnold when he was like 25. I'm sorry, I hate the shit on it because of a website, but fucking come on, dude. You're supposed to be a science fiction award that you'd figure they'd spend more than $8 on a fucking website. Fucking, they just Photoshop random. Like the background, look at the main thing with like Spielberg and that. It's so fucking bad, man. Like that's the best you can come up with.
They also work on donations only.
I'm sure a kid in Africa who fucking gets the $1 a day food can do better website than this fucking guy.
I mean,
anyways, I don't want to shit on it because of the website.
I'd like to see more of this stuff on the Oscars versus what the Oscars actually are.
Well, don't they have a specific night for like effects and stuff like that? Like, don't they have a specific night previously?
It's usually in the pre-show that they do it.
So you think they should put more like get rid of like the best foreign film and the best Bosnian Jagoff writer or whatever?
Like we've said, I mean, we have to include more major motion pictures versus your art house stuff in the Oscars to maybe get some of those viewers back.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, listen, at this point, what do you think is going to happen? You figure Captain America is going to win most of these awards. Are they the only people who are going to show up to the awards? Is that why they're going to win?
I've seen pictures of like the Walking Dead cast and stuff there. So.
But does it get like any notable credit? Like, is it on any major network? Is it? It's on like the History Channel at 3
Probably
in the morning.
Probably on sci-fi, if anything.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And we unfortunately don't get sci-fi in Canada.
We get space. It's the same shit. But anyways, yeah. Okay, so check out the Saturn Awards if you've got a... What's that old browser there? Fucking Netscape? If you have Netscape Navigator 2.5, check out the...
Go to AOL keyword Saturn.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, let's get into the movie reviews of the week. I'm Cheppy. I'm alive.
I'm Cheppy. I'm alive. I am a mediocre sci-fi film. It was all right for what it was. I could have went on today, on a Tuesday instead of the Friday big release. More of a that type film. The robot steals the show. And then for some reason, Blomkamp casted this rap rave South African group called Die Antwoord, where the lead singer is this guy called Ninja, and he plays a character named Ninja in the movie.
Well, there you go.
This blonde, Skrillex looking, like tattooed up weirdo who tries to be all super gangster in 2021. So he did a pretty terrible job. Dev Patel was all right. Hugh Jackman did a really good job as the antagonist, as one of the antagonists, since there's kind of a sub-antagonist on top of that. The robot, like, Hugh Jackman has is retardedly powerful and should have, like, just destroyed everything. So it was basically Ed 209 times, like, 1,000%
times
more powerful.
Times District 9. Yeah.
And then, I can't say anything. They're ruining it. I don't know. If you're looking for a sci-fi flick that's not quite on the level of District 9 in enjoyability, then check it out. For me, it was a 6 short circuit, South African short circuits out of 10.
Thank you very much, Carp. I have the pleasure of reviewing a movie that I unfortunately lost a bet a couple weeks ago and been a little past due when seeing. 50 Shades of Grey, starring, I don't know, some guy and some other chick who looks eerily on the same hotness level as Kristen Stewart. And okay, here we go.
That chick, by the way, is the daughter of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith.
That's great. All right, so in a nutshell, it's Twilight for, like, middle-aged women, minus the vampire. The main character fucking stalks her the whole movie and acts weird and is like, oh, I want to hang out. No, I don't, fuck off. I want to hang out. No, I don't, fuck off. The main actress is 6'5 at best. Nice boobs we see for most of the movie. Pretty much three-quarters of the movie, she's naked from the waist up, which is, you know, could be worse. But it's that's and she drives a shit car like Kristen Stewart drove in Twilight. So it's the same premise. Like this fucking regular random chick meets fucking superhero billionaire whatever boyfriend. And he fucking – the only difference is he whips her and beats the shit out of her and they calls it the BDSM, whatever
doesn't
it's called.
She like sign a contract saying
Yeah, like half the movie is him explaining the terms of the contract. I thought it was like a lawyer session of like, okay, well the Dominator decides to do this and blah 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 and clause 83 of the of section C. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's supposed to be some kind of big sexual thing for women. Their fucking vaginal cloud is encompassing the theater. But, you know, and I try to look at it objectively because I had to spend fucking 2 hours watching this thing. But it was just, it was nothing. There was, like, at the end, he, like, fucking really whips into her and I start doing the Ric Flair woo during the fucking, the slaps, you know. And I thought that was kind of funny. But at the end, and then she's like, ah, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. It was like a 2 hour build up for five whips, saw some tits. Unfortunately saw like a tip of a dick and I was for like half a second I was like forever unclean. What we did actually, if you guys, I don't know if you want to waste 2 hours listening to this, but if you go right now to the archive page of oldschoolmovies.net, there is a link for a 2 hour live review in real time of the entire 50 Shades of Grey starring myself and Charlie. So and I think it's pretty funny.
Is the place empty?
No, no, it was, we acquired a Japanese version
okay.
of...
No, I thought you might have, like, did the complete dick thing and talked during the entire film.
No, that's usually what Charlie does during all movies. So if you notice her talking level, this is how she normally talks during every fucking movie ever. She never shuts up. So if you want to hear some comic relief, listening to some moaning and some whipping with flare woos at the end, go to oldschoolmovies.net/the archive, and you can check out my 2 hour live commentary of 50 Shades of Grey. I give this fucking one whipping Kristen Stewart looking fucking chick out of 10, piece of shit car out of 10.
I'd heard apparently the book ends that he tries to convince her to do anal fisting. In the first,
yeah, she scraps that off during the contract negotiation that lasts about half of the movie. She said no to anal fisting and vaginal fisting. So I'm like, what a close-minded bitch.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna sign that contract, at least do some vaginal fisting. She wasn't cool with butt plugs. I mean, he wasn't able to ejaculate on her face. I mean, like, what the fuck, isn't, man? Like, what a close-minded prude this woman is. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Isn't she also a virgin at the beginning of it?
Was a virgin, is no longer, according to the book. Pretty quickly in. Yeah, de-virginized in every fucking sense of the word.
Yeah, that's, like I said a few weeks ago, only romantic because he's a billionaire. If he lived in a
trailer
park,
that's it. No, like you said, exactly. If he was a regular Joe, it would be rape and he'd be in prison right now. But because he has money and a helicopter, a glider, he's a pianist, and he rides his own helicopter, and he's a billionaire with a giant fucking building with a gorgeous view, he can fucking beat the shit out of women. It's totally fine. So check that out if you got some time to waste or if you're a horny chick wanting to get your rocks off. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of rocks to get off. It's a big fucking cock tease with a 45-minute contract signing and five whips at the end. So enjoy it if you want, whatever the fuck, whatever. So now if Charlie is supposed to give her review as well, because she said mine's going to be a little one-sided. So if she gives me a review before I finish cutting, we're going to put it in right now. If not, she agrees with me.
Dear movie fans, here's what I have to say about 50 Shades of Grey. Old School is a dick. That's it. Pretty much. Old School's a dick. The entire movie was him complaining, and it was stupid. Old School complained about the stupidest things! Anyways, I have to say, Old School, sorry, but you're the worst moviegoer ever. The movie was okay. I mean, it wasn't that extreme. It wasn't that interesting, even. Nothing happened. The directors probably stretched out the beginning way too much. Like, it was an entire 2 hours of them introducing the contract and how the whole, I don't know, Sado world worked. There was nothing violent about it, nothing dominant about it. Towards the end, yes, you saw a little bit more violence because she really asked for it. But other than that, I mean, God, it was regular sex other than having the, neckties in there. Anyway, it was weird. I didn't like it at all. I mean, nobody would be surprised to the fact that Charlie the Prude would say I didn't like it at all. But I did expect a lot more violence or sexual acts than were there. Tell me if I'm wrong, ladies that have read the book, or guys that have read the book. I'm not. If you read the book, you read the book. Is it me, or is the movie about her being the dominant one rather than him? Because throughout the movie, he claims to be the dominant one of the relationship, but he's the one that is changing. I felt, and Old School will disagree, that he was the weak one in here. She was dominant, even though she claimed that she didn't know what she wanted. She was throughout the movie trying to change him or kept asking him to change, and he was very much going along with it. He was very aware of the fact that there was a certain number of rules to obey by, but he kept breaking them. So, anyways, I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to, spoil it for anyone. Not that you guys would ever go see 50 Shades of Grey. But was it good? Not really. Would I see it again? No. Would I see the next one? Not really either. It was boring. It was a boring-ass movie, and I'm the prude. Hopefully the second one's better. God, I don't understand how it made so much money. That's all I had to say, guys. This is Charlie from All Wine Aside. Amazed of how much money this movie made. Bye.
All right. Let's get into the weekend box office for this week. All right, Carp, let's break down the numbers for this week.
Coming in first place with a fairly low $13.3 million would be Chappie in its opening weekend. Budget of $49 million. Overseas, well, foreign numbers, $13.7 million. In the end, I think it'll make its money back with DVD sales and word of mouth and expansion into more than just three other countries.
Hey, Kev, question for you, because you're a boxer numbers guy, right?
Nope.
How much do you think they spent in advertising on this thing?
Advertising and prints, I'd probably say a good 25.
So you figure the budget with advertising and prints is around 75. It's got to make 150 just to make its money back. It's made 26 so far.
I would be even with all the other stuff, I would be surprised if this movie makes its money back. It's not going to be a massive, massive loser, but I think we won't be seeing.
Because you figure foreign, it's going to make some up.
I don't think it's going to make that much, to be honest. It'll make some. Maybe in China because they like robots. But
right now, there's no like Asian foreign numbers.
Yeah, but it's also.
They've already copied the movie. Yeah. Forget it. If you don't release it the first week, it's done.
You know what? It's not going to lose a lot of money. It probably won't lose anyone their job, but we're not going to be seeing a Chappie 2.
So second place, we have Focus, which has a loss of 46%, pulling in $10 million on its second weekend for a total gross of $30.5 million on a $50 million budget. It's done pretty decent overseas. Right now, they're looking at $72 million worldwide. Not bad. Third place in its debut is the second best exotic Marigold Hotel, pulling in $8.5 million with no listed budget.
Is this Asylum? Or?
I believe it's the
sequel.
I believe it has a $10 million budget. And you know what? I will say the first movie was pretty damn good.
Still staying in the top five. Number four this week, Kingsman, The Secret Service, pulling in an additional $8.3 million.
I saw this on the weekend. Holy shit.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Wow. All I'm going to say is that church scene. Holy shit.
Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With Charlie, yeah. The church scene and then like the interaction between the two characters after that is like, yes.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good feeling that this movie is going to wind up on a lot of our top fives at the end of the year.
It's in there right now for me. So, so additional 8.3, pulling in a total domestic number of $98 million on an $81 million budget. With a foreign number of $150.3 million. Yeah. So Fox is very happy. Mark Miller and Matthew Vaughn are very happy, I'm sure. And if we can get any of Miller's, the writer's next projects that he's done in comics, for the stuff that hasn't been done, we're looking forward to a lot of good things if he's given the money to do some of his stuff. That's all I'm going to say. Fifth place, SpongeBob movie, $6.6 million for a total of $148 million. Sixth place, 50 Shades of Grey with another large drop in attendance, 47% for a total of $5.5 million. Still pulled in $156.3 million domestic with an additional $371.3 foreign for a total of $528 million. So the sequels will probably be coming out next year or the year after.
Okay, so I'm hearing he's out, he's in. Not literally, but for the...
I've heard that the guy who played Christian Grey is out because his wife is like, whoa, you know, that's a little too much for me, from what I've heard, but who knows.
But imagine, he only got paid $100,000 to do the first one. Like, his payoff was going to be the next two.
Yeah.
And now the wife cogblocks him. Like,
I think he'll be in it.
Yeah, I think the wife will see dollar signs and smarten the fuck up.
I believe they're offering $10 million for this next one. Like, you're supposed to get a raise to $10 million or something.
Listen, wives are few and, like, they're not few and far between. There's 6 billion women out there. That one doesn't work. Kick that bitch to the curb. Get a new wife and get your $10 million pay cut.
That is why you're never going to get married, sir.
No, I'm not going to get married to a fucking idiot and won't let me do a sequel.
So we have seventh place is McFarlane USA, where Will attempted to make a terrible joke about it last week.
Yep.
$5.2 million for a total of $29.3 million.
It's running away with another $5.2 million.
The eighth place we have The Lazarus Effect, pulling an additional $5 million for a total of $17.3 million on a $3.3 million budget. Yeah, that's good old horror and how financially successful it can be. From Lionsgate, we have The Duff in ninth place. Or an additional $4.7 million for a total of $26 million on an $8.5 million budget. There's probably going to be a sequel to this. I can't see there not being one.
What is it? Is it called Double Duff?
Duff 2.0, where she's no longer the Duff, but she has her own Duff and treats her like a Duff because there's a Duff there with more Duffs, and they actually include Duff beer from The Simpsons.
That's awesome.
And in 10th place, opening at a miserable $4.7 million would be Vince Vaughn's most recent attempt at comedy called Unfinished Business.
Well, we can say that Vince Vaughn's business is finished.
His unfinished business is now out of business.
Finished.
$4.7 on a $35 million budget with only $2.6 foreign. Yeah.
But do we think he's going to, like, other than maybe being not the main star or some kind of sequel, you think we'll see anything out of him?
You can't blame him for this. This was a terrible fucking movie.
But it's every Vince Vaughn movie.
No, this was worse than every Vince Vaughn movie because it just didn't have that upbeatness. It didn't have the star power. You didn't have Owen Wilson next to him. I mean, that's one of the things. But it just seemed like it was just a half-assed fucking, even in the trailer, anybody with half a fucking brain's gonna be like, what is this shit? I don't think Vaughn can sell in his own, but I think him and Owen Wilson can still make.
Yeah, just a terrible opening. I'm sure this is one of their lowest by Fox.
There's no way. Yeah, for sure it's his lowest ever.
I mean, the Red Band trailer, there's actually some moments which made me almost go see it on Tuesday, since it's Cheapy Tuesday, but I decided to go bowling instead. And that's it for the week.
All right, thank you very much, Carp.
That's it for the top 10.
Liam Neeson's back.
There is a top 86 on this Box Office Mojo. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Carp. Hey, guess who's back? Run All Night starring Liam. Well, it's more like Casually Jog All Night starring Liam Neeson.
It's got to be 15 years since I've been in here. Place looks different.
All the old places look different now. I'm the only one ever cared about you. And all of that ended an hour ago when you killed my son.
I pulled the trigger. I killed Ellie. I had to. He was going to shoot Michael. I'm here asking for my son's life, Sean. He's a good kid. He's got a family. He don't deserve this.
You know this, Ostend. I'm coming after your boy with everything I got. And when it's done, and it will be done, then I'll let you die.
What are you doing?
Both know why I'm here, Michael. So what happens now? Sean's gonna come after you, Michael. And if he can't get to you, he's gonna go after your family.
This has gotta end tonight.
Tell everyone to get ready. Jimmy's coming. Now we're the most wanted men in this city.
From glen to glen and down the mountainside.
I know how this works. They're going to start pulling your life apart.
I want people at his house. I want people at his wife's family's house. Anywhere he might run for help.
And the cops, they've got their own motivation.
Must go and I must fight.
You've got to worry about staying alive. I'm the best chance you've got. Listen to your father for one night. One night.
Been a long night, huh, Jimmy?
Run All Night starring Liam Neeson and Ed Harris. Here's my question. Do I take another chance on him? Trailer looks good. Trailer usually looks good for Liam Neeson movies. Is he too old to pull it off? I say he can still do it. And this movie, I'm hoping, doesn't have a lot of film protection for him that's saying that the cuts and the shaky cam. I'm hoping it doesn't. So I'm going to say yes on a Cheapy Tuesday. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, more like a Cheapy Tuesday, but with the song they include, since it's Neeson, they should release it next week for St. Patrick's Day.
Would make sense. Kebbo Trek.
I'm with you guys, Cheapy Tuesday.
Have you said?
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want from me, but I have a particular set of skills to give this movie an A.
All right. Heavy, not a fan of Liam Neeson. DVD, we got Night at the Museum.
There's also, maybe we should mention the
Could
other
you
one.
Let me finish talking, you fuck.
Well, you're completely skipping out another wide release just because it's not.
Oh, Cinderella. Oh, I'm so sorry. Nay for me. Next. Night at the Museum, this Secret of the Tomb. This is Kebbo. Are you fucking still talking?
Yes, I am, because you're not mentioning a horror movie coming out, which looks great, and it's called It Follows.
Oh, released on zero screens. I'm so sorry I missed it.
A sexually transmitted
It's demon. Literally zero fucking screens. Limited. I'm so sorry. Where's it playing in fucking Idaho? Probably. All the people in Idaho, go check out It Follows starring, I don't know, released on one fucking screen, distributed by fucking no-name fucking movie company. So sorry I missed
so
it.
So angry. So angry.
What's this? Okay, you fucking ruined the segment. You go ahead and explain to the audience why this is so important.
Oh, I'm just saying, go check out a horror film on limited release. That's it.
Where's the playing card? Nowhere.
I don't know.
Oh, it's playing absolutely fucking nowhere.
So angry.
I'm looking at the amount of screens right now. Not even two. So that means it's playing on one fucking screen. Are you going to drive there and go fucking
yes.
see it?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Where's it playing, Cart?
I don't know. I
Where the fuck is it playing? It's so important. Where the fuck is it playing?
I have a weird feeling it's playing at Carp's house, and that's why he's trying to promote it.
He's fucking. He rented a DVD player because he doesn't own one, because he's still got a VHS. So he's got to offset the rental of the DVD player. So please go check out It Follows at Carp's house. Yes. He'll tweet you the address.
Exactly.
All right, what's on a DVD, Carp?
Robin Williams hanging around in Night at the Museum.
Yeah, I guess he's no, I'm not
Sound of Music.
I'm not going to do it. Too soon.
Sound of Music 50th anniversary is the big one. Not much, surprisingly. Only five titles, and four of those are shared on Blu-ray. I guess this is not a big successful financial weekday for DVD and Blu-ray releases. Only
yeah,
five.
I mean, we don't got coming out. Kev, has March usually been a financially slow month? Is that why they're not releasing much?
I think if I remember correct, like February's usually slow, January, even March. No, I don't think it's particularly that low. It's just, I guess maybe it's just a bad week.
A jobber movie's coming out. All right, let's get into OSATM feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Well, I check if we got any emails, Carp. Let's get to the tweets.
So for six tweets in a row, we have AA Andy Anderson saying, like movies, listen to Old School at the Movies and give feedback by using hashtag OSATM.
Fucking A, please do. And thanks for the plugs.
And then we have a full conversation starting with Wayne is a sting mark at Kata, at Vamp, at Vigilante, and at AA. Goodwill Humping, he says. Kata saying he's being serious. I've never seen Indiana Jones. Devil Vamp.
He's a fucking troll.
Devil Vamp and Ant respond, Kata is a fucking troll.
Yeah, he is a fucking troll.
Double A responds to that saying, what the hell is a Kata? Or no, what the hell Kata? Okay. And then he responds,
what is Indiana Jones?
I've never Kata. Seen Indiana Jones.
You Kata. Haven't seen Indiana Jones.
I have never seen Indiana Jones. Just like you never go ask them out.
Listen, that's what you're doing this weekend. Instead of stealing a bunch of movies, okay? You're going to go steal some movies on the internet and fucking download Indiana Jones.
I've already done that and I still haven't watched them.
Well, get to it this weekend, you motherfucker. Mother trucker.
And so it continues between Wayne S. Baker, Kata, and Vigilante basically asking why the hell he hasn't seen Indiana Jones.
It's like 20 tweets. What the fuck? You fucking troll. And, why haven't you seen
it? Ant says, I prefer In Diana Jones and the Temple of Womb. To which AA responds, come on, the Crystal Skull movie was not that bad. Oh, he was actually legitimate. I thought he was trying to joke around. Come on, the Crystal Skull movie wasn't that bad. My favorite is The Last Crusade.
First one was the best one, by the way.
AA Andy Anderson, at Old School, at Heavy Set. Wait, I think he meant to say what, but wait. Is the name of the trailer you guys play at the end of each hashtag OSATM?
It is. Okay, Andy.
I already told him.
Okay, well, for those who haven't checked and read that first tweet and don't know what it is, at the end of each show, we play a Screen Junkies trailer. So if you check out Honest Trailers Screen Junkies, if you throw that into YouTube, you get all the Honest Trailers.
At All Wine Aside, here is my review of hashtag 50 Shades of Grey. Nothing happened. All in capital letters with an exclamation at the end.
Yep.
And then finally, yep. Ryan Fenn. Hashtag OS.
Hey, that's my nephew. What's up? Big up.
Hashtag OSATM. Hey, old school. Oh, well, it's all one word, but it's hey, old school rumors of a Netflix Legend of Zelda live action show. Any truth to that? What would be the plot? Personally, I think it would be Link trying to save Zelda.
Well, is he asking you?
They're asking
what the fuck? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You ignorant, interrupting piece of fucking shit. Then, go ahead.
Carp, you ignorant slut.
Just continually over and over during the episode, and it can't stop at any point during the episode. Until he's in the dungeon.
He goes in, he like attacks the witch throws the fire, he leaves the thing, comes back in and keeps doing it for 3 hours. That's episode
one. That would be episode 1 through 3.
Episode 2, he keeps hitting the spider guys and goes back and keeps hitting.
On a side note, what's everyone's favorite Legend of Zelda game? For me, Link to the Past.
Okay, a Link to the Past, you can tell you're a younger generation if you like Link to the Past. If you're
pretty old school, seriously,
you're not going to, I'm talking at the same time. Do you have a fucking retard button that you can push? So you don't fucking keep interrupting me? Fucking cunt.
You know, at this point, I'm just doing it on purpose, right?
Yes, I know. You fucking troll. You fucking Kata troll. Haven't seen Indiana Jones. For the first one. The first one's the best game. If you say Link to the Past, I know you're 20 And if you say anything older than that, I know you're uneducated. The first one is the best game of all time.
Agreed. Well, best Link of all time.
No, Link 2, damn it. Or Legend of Zelda Link. Legend of Link, there we go.
That's when you're side-scroller? You're into the side-scroller?
No, actually, Link to the Past is by far my favorite. I love it. But then again, I am more of a Super Nintendo guy, so yeah.
But you can tell if it's a 20-year-old or if it's a 30-year-old. If they like Link to the Past, you know he's in his 20s.
Well, I'm 20. I'll be 29, so I'm almost 30. So
there you go. You're in your 20s. All right, thank you for the tweets. Piper the DJ got a little pissed off, a little heated after Will's comments calling him an idiot last week.
Here we go.
So I mentioned to Piper on Twitter. I go, hey, Will's trashing you out. Would you do a one-on-one? And Piper, this is the subject, Piper versus Will over Batman. He starts off in caps, bring it the fuck on. As a production major, there is no way on earth you will convince me Birdman is any reasonable movie. Mediocre acting, poor storyline, Michael Keaton. That's what he puts as like an argument. He just puts Michael Keaton. Three strikes and you're out of there. Will thinks he has an Ice Cube's chance in hell of convincing me otherwise. Statistically speaking, old school will go see 50 Shades as a fan of the story before I change my mind. And you know what? I know Piper is heavy in his opinions, but he fucking backs them up. So if Will were to actually listen to this fucking show, which he never does, he would probably have something to say, but he doesn't because he's a douche. So unfortunately, Piper, I think you win by default, but I'll try to get you two on a show soon to get this Birdman fucking debate on.
I feel like he doesn't really need to mention, though, his formal education in cinema each time he talks about the movie. I understand his opinion.
Yeah, but he's backing up his argument. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I understand his opinion is vastly different than obviously Will's, but, you know, I'd like to hear a counterpoint argument, but Will probably go into comic mode. And
no, he's going to be like, Michael Keaton's cock, Michael Keaton's cock. Like, that's his argument.
He'll be like, Ed Norton, Michael Keaton, cock,
cock. That's it. Like, so I think Piper's won this. Final thoughts and plugs. Cart, let's get your final thoughts and plugs.
For all the youngins out there, go check out Cinderella this week, even though we didn't mention it on the show.
I don't know why you got a hard on for this fucking movie.
Hey, live action.
Like you're like fucking blasting me that I didn't mention that on the fucking show. Anybody who listens to this show, apart from Charlie, nobody gives a shit about fucking. No. And I don't even think she cares about Cinderella.
I'm sure all the listeners who have children are going to ask why we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I'm sure Aunt's going to be fuming we didn't talk about Cinderella.
Aunt, you got to tweet us and bitch at old school about not playing the Cinderella trailer. Matt.
Yeah, fucking the new hashtag bitch at old school. If you have any fucking complaints, Carp keeps interrupting me. Bitch at old school.
And as always, at Killer Carpedium, and come play games at Stable Wars. I believe Spanish Announce Table gave us a retweet, so also listen to Spanish Announce Table.
Awesome. Hey, where's my stable? How's it doing?
I don't know. It's not Will's.
Well, why don't you actually do some work instead of interrupting me? Hey. Listen, you fucking cocksucker.
I forget your name. I'm still in the top 20. You have something about Liam Neeson.
Just look at that four-line thing with Liam Neeson's cock or whatever.
57th place.
So I'm working my way up there.
You got to do your trades, so you're screwed.
No, I'm the Ascension. The Ascension all the way. I believe in them. Heavy set, plugs, final thoughts.
www.trainingtopicsnetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Anything Goes, All Wine Aside, and DSJMP WrestleCast.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty much my only plugs for right now. Working on some things for the Ohio Indie Report. That's pretty much it. I finally, 2 weeks later, I finally posted episode 5, even though I accidentally marked it 4, of Anything Goes. I think we're going to do an...
Yeah, you do a half an hour talking about fucking restaurants. Fucking, you went In-N-Out Burger, you went to Five Guys, fucking... It's the restaurant debate. For your next Anything Goes, best burger. That's my fucking question. Because you guys are getting me hung. I'm sitting there eating my bullshit chicken sandwich or whatever. And you're fucking talking about burgers and all this shit. Like, you fucking cocksuckers. So best burger. That's my fucking question.
Actually, the next one on the side note, what we plan on doing, I know I want to do a all WrestleMania, Anything Goes. But I've always said one of the worst things to watch when you're really, really hungry is the show Man vs. Food. Because I've done that. And I'm just like... yeah. oh, I'm so starving. This guy's trying to eat this big ass burger or something. I'm just like, oh, I wish I had that right now because I'm starving.
I think generally eating while watching the Food Network is a very bad idea.
Yep.
Or how about not eating while watching the Food Network? Isn't that a bad idea?
Yeah, but then you just get hungry.
Yeah.
Do you think the Food Channel is a premium channel in Ethiopia?
But-um-chi.
Yeah, it's heavy. Two for two on insulting everybody. Last week, the terrorist joke. This week, the Ethiopians. What will you say next?
Find out next week on Old School at the Movies.
Find out next week on Old School at the Movies.
I was going to say find out on Anything Goes.
All right, so for Kembo, Track Heavy, Sat Carp, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From the studio that brought you Snow White, Fantasia, and the story of menstruation comes the fairy tale that's been adapted for film again and 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 again. And coming soon to a theater near you, again, Cinderella. Revisit the animated classic that will cancel out all the empowering things your daughter learned from Frozen.
Leave the sewing to the women.
Where girls are taught to be pushovers, do all the housework, and that their problems will disappear if they're hot enough to land a rich husband. Get swept away by the tale of Cinderella, an orphan girl enslaved to her stepfamily, who's either a powerful druid that can talk to animals.
Where? In a trap.
Or years of being locked away in a castle, knitting sweaters for mice, have slowly driven her mad.
Yes, I know it's a lovely morning, but it was a lovely dream, too.
Yep, definitely crazy. But everything will change when she meets her fairy godmother, a guardian angel who's waited years to improve Cinderella's life in any way, instead of helping her out when her parents died. Or when her stepfamily forced her into slavery. Thanks for the dress, lady, but it would have been more helpful if you bibbity-bobbity called Child Protective Services like 8 years ago. Even though Cinderella's name is the title, spend more than half the movie watching a cat try to contain the army of vermin who have infested every corner of the house. And for all his reasonable efforts to contain the rodent horde, gets Bran Stark out the window. Savor the age-old love story between a prince who couldn't be bothered to find his own wife and a king so desperate for heirs he doesn't care whose uterus his son uses as a baby factory. Whether it's a hermit maid who talks to mice or just someone with the same shoe size.
This slipper may fit any number of girls.
That's his problem.
Whatever. So travel back to a simpler time and sing along to the classic songs you've loved since childhood. Like the song that inspires false hope.
This song is about deception. Most dreams just don't come true. But I am the rare exception. I'm skinny and pretty and cute.
The Cute Little Mice Song.
We are mice, smart as people. We can hear you. We can see you. Go ahead and tell somebody. No one will believe you.
Watch us handle the scissors.
We'll tear apart your innards. Stab your eyes out with a needle. Watch us get medieval.
So don't mess with mice. You are as smart as people.
And the Oscar-nominated gibberish song.
Blurpity blurp a derpity derp uplibbity blabbity blunk. Anything rhymes if you make up the words. Slippity zappity flippity flappity. These writers clearly were drunk.
Starring, I ain't saying she a gold digger. Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Kardashians, Wilford Brimley, Prince Foot Fetish, Rosie O'Donnell, Modest Mouse, and unrealistic expectations of relationships that girls carry into adulthood. Sweeping Beauty. I know the stepmom was bad, but good luck with the father-in-law.
If anything goes wrong,